Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Padawan Unlimited Podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited Trading Card Game Podcast. Today, I am joined by Heartbreaker Corey and the mysterious and elusive Tetra. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hey, thanks.
I'm good.
So if you're new to the podcast, I've been alluding to Tetra for the past like month, essentially. So we finally got him on the podcast in lieu of Rob. Rob had work stuff to take care of. So this worked out perfectly that we could do this, and we'll probably do another like community spotlight with Tetra in the future. But for now, we got him as our guest host. Thank you for joining us, brother. It's awesome. It's awesome to have you.
Absolutely. I'm very appreciative of being on.
Yeah, and I love your background. It's like the Ewok. Okay. So before we get into the segments, we're gonna do a quick giveaway announcement. So over the past month we had raffle like entries, and now we're giving stuff away for this month. Last week we had a winner who was actually on the Discord. Got the Poe Dameron showcase, which was generously donated by Tetra. So thank you again, brother. And we have a Galactic Championship VIP black pin. Somewhere around $20 worth of value. So we're gonna do a random quick generation of the raffle tickets. So let's do this real quick, and then one.
Doing it live.
Yeah. If it's the same person, I'm gonna go wild. John Bone, 07. Congratulations, nice. Brother. Congrats. I'll be mark you down. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. I'll get that out to you as soon as possible. Okay, so now with that out of the way, let's go on to the collection segment, one of our three segments, as usual. Corey, what do you have for us today?
Today was the FFG stream, and it focused on the spotlight decks, and we got a whole lot of new cards that are coming out from those decks, but we also got some of the prize wall and special silver pack reveals of the cards that we're going to see in the sectionals and regionals. So for sectionals, they're going to have a very similar frame to them as the Galactics, and they're going to kind of match the theming of the sector silver logo and be that. But we are going to get some familiar cards. There's going to be the Cunning, Vigilance, Aggression, and Command cards with new art. It's very similar art, I would say, to the original four that we got. I think they kind of were like, take this art and kind of make it a little bit your own or something, because it's basically the same art, just a different style to it.
Hold on. So same art, different style. That's okay.
It's very similar art, different styling to it.
Gotcha.
I might take a look at it. What I would say, right?
Oh yeah,
like,
definitely. They look good.
But look, yeah, it looks amazing. They look amazing, and so it's something that I'm very excited to see. Those are coming out of the packs, and they will be foiled. You're also getting Axe Wolves, HK, IG 2000, Gungi, Wrecker is going to be in there, Venestra, Aura Sync, and Planetary Bombardment. But according to some feedback that they received, how these silver pack cards were all, you know, foils, people didn't necessarily want to play with foils because of the curling that can happen. And so they are offering on the prize wall the non-foil versions, but it's going to use the original art of the card with the framing of the sectors. So that's cool, because you get the option to have a collector version and then a playable version with a unique frame. I think that's pretty neat. That's going to be at the sectors. So then you had the regional ones also, which are going to be a gold frame, similar again to the Galactics from Vegas Arts frame, and they're going to have like the regional and sector logos on the cards. as well. And in those, we got some interesting ones as well. You have, I think, 10 of them. I think in Sectors it was 12, but here we have 10. So we have Karis with new art, Darth Vader from Legends, new art, Shatterpoint, Victor Leader, and Maul, as well as Ahsoka from, is that Jump to Lightspeed? Or is that...
Which is that's the Jump to Lightspeed.
Yeah, Profundity. Poe Dameron's got some cool art, the legendary card from Shadows, Black One from Jump to Lightspeed, and a General's Blade, which is this like the first upgrade that we've gotten kind of like cool alt art from these?
That's available to the mass public?
This is regionals. This is those...
No. I mean, like, I'm thinking like, because if you're thinking about not the lightsaber packs... Right, those are cards and upgrades, but like I think this might be the only one.
Actually, right, you're right.
Quick question, Tetra, do you collect the cards or do you just play?
So I prefer to collect the promos, and then when it comes to like the top 8 promos, I choose to collect the ones that I can actually win. I don't try to go out of my way to like go out and buy. Like I'm not going to spend like $1,000 on the finalist promos or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll add them if I get them. But yeah, these all look cool. I'm a little disappointed in the Ahsoka because it looks exactly like we had the Judge one, right? So I was hoping for like another special one for the Ahsoka, but they all look good.
Yeah.
Which is like I thought the Ahsoka looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, it looks good. I think it's just the same art as the Judge one.
Oh, is it?
The non-foil prize wall one.
Oh, the non-foil prize wall. Yeah. Yeah, those are just using original art from...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if you don't get them in the packs, then, yeah, it's going to look the same.
But I do like having promos that are non-foil, because I prefer to play without foils.
Yes.
Are the cards just too heavy? Or... No, just kidding. No, but... No.
Yes, my weak hands can shuffle the... it's really because in competitive play, you can get in trouble for like marked cards and foils tend to curl.
Yeah.
And when you're, you know, if you're looking at it from a distance, a judge could see a curled card as a marked card. They'll probably not give you a huge penalty. They'll probably just ask you to replace it. But I'd rather not run the risk of having this nice foil that I want. I'll put it in like a nice sleeve and put it in a binder.
They're more show pieces than playing.
Yeah, for me they're definitely more show pieces or trade fodder for the regular hyperspace.
Trade fodder.
Yeah,
that's the first time I heard that term was actually during the Richmond sectional qualifier. Like, is that weird? Okay. Like I've been playing this for like a year now, and that's the first time I heard it. Because we do the giveaways and I was like a card, it's like, oh, this is just trade fodder for me. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks, guy.
I think I recall you saying in the past, like, this is your first, like, even card game, right? Like, competitive-wise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So,
I like hearing all these new terms that you...
Yeah, things that we haven't, like, heard of before. Like, weenie decks, that's something new to me, too. Like, all these, like, the cad weenie deck. I was like, what does this cad
hold
weenie
on deck? We're going to meta segment right now. Real quick, let's finish up collection. Which I definitely want to get to there because, you know, picking the brain of one of the best out there, definitely want to talk about that. So, sure. Which, you know, talking about foils, it is very interesting that, like, I always thought foils would be like worth more, but they're always worth almost always worth less. Well, maybe I'm not. Maybe not always, but like in this specific card game.
Yes.
This game's weird for this like secondary market, mostly because because we have four versions of the card, right? We have a normal, a foil, a hyperspace, and a hyperspace foil. Like the normal foil is like the lowest price card most of the time because nobody wants that.
Yeah.
And the competitive players usually prefer non-foil cards. So it's really just the hardcore people that fueled like the foil hyperspace, I think. And those prices seem to fluctuate depending. And I want to say it's mostly just a population of players versus like actual value.
Yeah. I am curious what would happen. And Corey, I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but I'm curious to see what would happen if we, you know, once we've hit the mass market, so people are buying packs at Target and stuff like that. I'm actually curious to see, like, what's your opinion on, like, do you think foil prices will go up with like a lot more casuals coming up, or do you think it's just gonna stay like standard? Like, it's gonna be like foils are the worst cards. I don't think. Like, what do you think?
I don't think foils are going to gain much traction. As for, like, the basic foil version of cards aren't going to gain much traction as far as value goes. I think the alternate art cards, like the silver pack foils, if they do special foil treatments, those are the types of cards that are going to gain value because of the rarity of them and the specialness of them, you could say. Because right now, basic foil cards are in abundance with the carbonite packs, and so all the collectors that are buying carbonite packs are getting these foils guaranteed, like a bunch of foils that they don't necessarily care about, and are just throwing them out into the market or just giving them away. And so that just tanked the value of all the basic foils because of how much of them there are now. I think if they didn't have all the foils all the foil cards in carbonite packs, if they were like a mix of them still, I think they would maybe be a little bit more valuable, but because of how easy they are to get and how people aren't playing them, like, right, there's just not enough players that want to foil out their decks. You're not going to see that value for a long time, if ever, in this game.
No, fair. Fair enough. I was just curious, and that's a good point about the carbonite boxes, just like flooded with foils that no one really kind of wants. Okay.
It's like people are buying the foils are not necessarily competitive players, right? People that are buying the carbonite packs are people that are collectors. And the collectors, they want the special cards. They don't necessarily want those basic foils.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I guess for me, the bottom line here is that, like, every card game to me seems to, like, when I've done research, and even with Star Wars, it's kind of come to fruition. They have their own nuance. And the nuance for this card game is no one gives a crap about foil cards. Whereas, like, my brother was getting into Digimon cards again, like, and he found out that, like, in the Digimon space, for example, like, no one collects. So it's no one, like, if you try to PSA grade a Digimon card, no one cares. They just want to play it. For so, like, right. Oh, that's fascinating. Like, every card is a nuance, and this is, I guess, Star Wars is. Yeah. So if you're trying to invest, don't invest in foils. Don't let them spook you. All right. Let's move on to the meta segment. In lieu of Rob not being here, you know, sorry, dude, that you had to go to work later in the evening. Let's talk about the meta. It seems to be pretty wide, I think. That's at least that's my opinion based on just what I see. But I would love your perspective, Tetra. Like, how are you feeling about the meta with this set? Are you happy, sad, like, conflicted? Like, what are you feeling?
I'm very, I'm kind of middle of the line, which is probably not what you want to hear, but the biggest issue is that there's probably too many, not necessarily viable decks, but there's probably too many decks that are out there. So when I try to prepare, I can't prepare for everything, right? So I need to choose a deck that'll give me the best chance that either I can, you know, do well because of how strong it is, and, you know, hope that my bad matchups I never run into, or try to find a deck that's kind of good overall, even if there's like some random deck that pops up. And I think that's the biggest struggle that I've run into currently with this meta is, like, you know, there could be 13 decks. I have a spreadsheet that I get once in a while from some friends that kind of go like the weeks prior to see like what decks are doing well. And there's like 20 decks on that list.
Oh my God, really? So
yeah. It's, and then each week a new deck pops up. I think there was like a Poe deck that was doing well. There was like, I think I saw a video for a Thrawn deck that was doing well. Like, each week there's a new deck, and it's almost hard to keep up in a way.
Yeah.
You either just have to ignore it or just prepare for the decks that you think are going to be the best, like the Hantu Blues, the Quinlans of the world. So,
you know, I've heard that perspective of, well, like, well, more to the negative, in that there was one in our someone at the McClunky team, they were talking about how, like, it's almost like gambling. Because, like, there's no preparing for it. Like you said, like, there's, because there could be 20 different decks, color combinations in a tournament, like, it's really luck of the draw. It comes down to luck of the draw of, like, who you're getting. Because if they have just have a wonky deck that you can't deal with, that's a loss. Mm-hmm. And once you're at one loss, like, you're pretty much, like, SOL unless you win out.
That has happened to me. Yeah. That's happened to me twice so far at two different PQs where I ran into a deck that one random person was playing that had a really good matchup versus the deck I was playing. And I got run over. I just didn't have any agency in the match. So,
yeah. So that's why I called Corey the Heartbreaker earlier, because two weeks ago he did it to us.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like that's in this past PQ at Red Seal down in New Jersey, Matawan. I had so much trouble deciding what deck to play at that PQ. I had three decks that I was thinking about, and up until like. It started at 10 o'clock. At 9:59, I was still debating what deck I was going to play, and that just ruined my day because I had no like real preparation for any one of those decks. I'm just going to go with this deck and this like really prepare with it. So I think that like kind of put me behind a little bit just because I was thinking about all these different decks, and then when I was playing my matches I was like, oh, I should have played this other one because this deck would have been better at this matchup. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the future I need to just stick to a deck that I feel comfortable with and that I enjoy playing, and then just like see how I can adjust it for the meta, maybe, instead of like, let me play this deck because it's good in this meta, let me play that deck because it's good in that meta.
I think that's a strategy you should take, even like I would say all around, starting out, even more experienced players, of like, pick a deck that either you're the most comfortable with or you have the most reps with, and just keep playing that and adjust it for what you expect. Like, yeah, it is hard right now because there are like 20 different decks that people could play, and there's always going to be that randomness that, because Star Wars players like to play what they like to play. This isn't like other card games where, hey, these are the top five decks, and you know that all the competitive players are going to play those top five decks, no matter what. As far as I've played in Star Wars, is someone's going to come in with like Grand Inquisitor one day, and because they like Grand Inquisitor, they're not playing it because it's good. They just like that guy, right? So it's always best to play what you're most comfortable with and try to prepare for what you think are the most popular decks. Yeah. And that also helps you get better as well.
That's sound advice. And as one of those guys who does constantly throw in random ass deck, excuse my language, random decks choices at showdowns and stuff, I'm sorry on behalf of everyone who does that. Do we think that eventually it'll coalesce, like the meta will coalesce around a couple of decks, or do you think it's just like a nuance of this game particularly, that it's always going to be the case where like there's always going to be people who are going to play random stuff and you just have to deal with it. Like, I would love your
guys' opinion on that. I think there's always going to be that randomness just because of the people that get attracted to playing this game. A lot of people I talk to, this is their first card game. They come from other Star Wars type things. They come from like the miniatures games. Like, to me, this isn't, a lot of people that come to this game aren't ones that have played other card games before. And even if they have, they just didn't really, you know, play as competitively. And now they're trying to get into a competitive game. So in general, a lot of them were always going to see people play whatever leaders they enjoy the most, because they're not playing to, not necessarily playing to compete, but playing to compete at the high level. They're like, I'm going to play because I enjoyed playing, and if I make top eight or I win, that's just, you know, the cherry on top, right? I don't need it. Me just playing a couple rounds and getting a couple packs is all I need, type of thing. So,
yeah, and there's so many characters that are leaders now that you have a character for everyone almost, right? If you are a fan of a specific character, with the amount of leaders we've gotten, there's probably an option for you at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, and another thing was, it was actually FFG brought it up at Galactics. There was a panel with two of the developers, and they were talking about local metas. And in their own internal testing, they define like, hey, these are the best decks in our own, like, effectively our own, like, bubble, right? And the way this game is and how spread out it is, the Northeast has different decks than the Southeast and the Midwest and all over the place. There's different decks and different things that are performing well. Like back when Han Won Yellow was the most popular deck, it was the most popular deck in the Northeast. There was barely people playing it in anywhere else. So regions can also help define what gets played. And because of that, and because we have so many leaders, we're just always going to have some form of a hodgepodge of decks that people are playing. Now, there at some point should be, you know, the top five decks that people can prepare for. We're unfortunately in a wide open meta now, but, you know, previous meta, there was like five decks that would be good to, you know, prepare for, type of thing.
Yeah. And I think
I've definitely seen that with the European scene. It's like way different than what we play.
Yeah.
But you look at those PQs and the winners in there, it's like, oh, this is crazy. How did this win?
New Zealand wedge deck won, a wedge security base won. I looked at the list. There was a bunch of one-ofs and two-ofs. It looked like one of those things that you just, you know, threw together from your binder and piloted it well. And hey, kudos to that guy for winning with that.
Heck yeah. I know. With wedge, I love it. Which I wish that card was just like that leader was better. Like maybe I wish that was the Poe Dameron, because wedge is just like Death Stars, like a bunch of TIE fighters, a bunch of Star Destroyers. He's the most accomplished pilot in all the galaxy without the Force. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why is he?
I tried my hardest to make him work in my group testing, and he just couldn't work.
I know. Well, I gotta go to New Zealand. Which we have we have a listener in Australia, so there's a reason to go over there for us. All right. Okay. So summary, I guess meta is relatively wide, maybe a little too wide. It sounds like it. So you can't really prepare it too wide for the competitive scene, in that sense, because it's really hard to prepare. That's fair. But let's go on to the last segment, and you're our special guest. So we're gonna We're going to grill you. No, I was kidding. We're not going to do that. But definitely want to get to know you, the guy, the player. Maybe talk a little bit about
Boffin. The myth.
Yeah, the legend. talk about a little bit about Boffin Network as well.
I'm only one of those things. I'm a man. I don't know if I'm a myth or a legend.
Yeah, you got some pretty good accomplishments under your belt there.
I know.
So definitely love to hear about them.
The fact that you can say, oh, I only collect the promo cards that I win, that you could actually use.
So offhandedly. I'm not going to get these other ones.
What are these tokens that I keep getting for getting?
Well, what that also means is that every time I open up my promo binder, I can be a little sad that I didn't win certain ones, all right?
Oh, that's true.
I get to beat myself up all the time.
Okay, so let's talk about you for a quick. Let's talk about you for the next segment. I'm assuming this is not your first TCG. You've probably played in the past as well, right?
I played Magic from the time I was like 18 to like 28. I played competitively. I traveled all over U.S. playing. I did decent, not like a top tier pro player or anything like that. Just I used to hang out with a lot of the pro players, but it was kind of more of like a trying my best type of situation. I kind of got stuck in a negative mindset of like not necessarily like effectively I was trying too hard and kind of burnt myself out from trying too hard. So I took a break and I played miniatures for like 8 years. So I played War Machines.
Just a little break.
The downside is I was like, oh, I'll just play a game for fun. And I started playing tournaments for like X-Wing, tournaments for War Machine, Star Wars Legion. Like I'm just too competitive, I guess.
Yeah.
Which can't take a break. On your back.
which brings you to the Boffin Network. I know I'm kind of fast forwarding, but like you're on one of the premier teams for this game. How did you get there?
So I've known Lego Pizza, Ian Klein, for a number of years. And he was getting into Star Wars. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll play this card game with you. So we started playing. We went to Gen Con, what, 2 years ago? Gen Con, the prior one.
Yeah.
We went to that Gen Con.
Came out, right?
We met Frank and George there and a couple of the other, like, early Bothans. And I was kind of not really interested in being on a team at that point. I just kind of wanted to play the game for fun than necessarily, like, sure, I was still trying to be competitive, but I wasn't like, let me be on a team and do it, like, effectively be a tryhard in that aspect. And Ian, you know, got on the team, was kind of pushing for me, but at that point in time, I didn't really have any results, and I just was like, all right, I'll try hard, and started putting up results, and Ian vouched for me. Because so the Boston Network, the way it works is that we find effectively members through other members that have some type of results, and we do like a voting system for it.
Oh, interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Is it like secret ballot? And then,
more or less, yeah.
Cool.
The idea is that you want to have some type of accomplishments because we are a competitive team, so we can't just have, you know, somebody who just started yesterday type of thing. We want to at least see some type of results that, you know, helps push other members to vote for you. And then we also bring in people to, like, if you're a potential, you know, candidate, we'll bring you in to kind of play some games with the team to see how well you jive with the team, because it's not just about, you know, being a good player. You also have to jive with the team.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if you're on a team, you'd want to make sure all the team members get along and have a good chemistry, and it can be collaborative and as well as competitive, and not, you know, have too big of egos or something, right? Because that can kind of disrupt the team flow.
I mean, in general, a team is, you know, while it is a resource for you to use as, you know, to get better at the game, it's also like, think of it like a club of friends, right? Like, we don't want to have like somebody that's negative or not productive or, you know, in any way. So we always try to at least have like a nice jive test to, in general. So.
No, I think that's very important. I'm a member of McClunky, and it was kind of similar. I didn't have a tryout. I think I joined them relatively early, and I got to I was friends with the New Jersey locals. I did well locally, but I haven't had any like major accomplishments like you guys have. I feel like I need to work on that.
Well, I know right after the first PQ I went to at Red Seal, Zach from McClunky approached me and was like, hey, I'm starting like a group of like local, like New Jersey for like a team and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. I don't mind like testing with some people. So I got added in that. And then eventually that got incorporated into McClunky. But at that point, I was on Boffin, and
so yeah, I remember that first PQ. You were in the finals there, right? That was cool. That was like one of the first. That was the first PQ in New Jersey, right?
Yep, that was the first PQ I went to as well.
Yeah, that's so pretty cool.
Already a storied history. So you've been playing probably essentially nonstop for the past year and a half of official gameplay, right, for Star Wars
Unlimited. More or less,
I mean, throughout this journey, what has it been like? I mean, I'm assuming you had some ups and downs. Like, I know for me, for example, like, there's been a couple months where I've just been down. Not that I've ever quit the game, but like, man, I'm like, wow, I suck, or wow, I'm really good. Like, there's these positives and negatives. What has your journey been like in that sense, especially considering you're part of like a highly competitive team? You've been with that team for a long time, right? There's always pressure. There can be pressure in that sense. You also collect, so there's like a different other aspect of side, the other side to you, to that. What has that journey, how's that evolved throughout the past year?
I mean, being part of a team, like, you also want to do well, right, for your team, to kind of like show that you belong too. So like, I'll say, like, recently I've been kind of down because since Galactics, I missed out on day 3, And then since then, I've only been going like X and 2, X and 3 at PQs. So I've done 4 PQs recently and just not been able to crack back in the top 8. And it has been kind of like, what am I doing wrong? Am I like, did something happen? Did something break somewhere that, is it just that it's too open of a meta that I just, I can't figure out what to, you know, what to play or how to prepare for it? There's a lot of like, there's definitely times where like, because I have that competitive mindset that I'll go like, as soon as I get my second loss, I'm already like using the word tilted, where like, I'm just kind of like already done with the game. I kind of want to stop. Like I have the personality where even after like, I think after Richmond, I came in like 25th, I lost my winning in, and I still wanted to play games. I was still like jiving to play games. I just wanted to figure out more. But recently, I have not felt that way. Like I've X and two, I'll play out the rest of the tournament, and then I kind of want to go home and take a nap or something. Like, yeah. Like this weekend, I don't have an event because I didn't want to go drive 8 hours. And I think it's kind of a sign to say, hey, maybe I should just take this weekend off to, you know, not play and
kind of
do like a reset. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've talked about that, like staying motivated within the last week, and like mentioned, maybe I might have mentioned, but this is kind of like the theme for the next couple of weeks. Like, how do we stay motivated? Because like, especially if you're in the competitive scene, the collection side, I think we're okay in that like we're not getting too many new cards too often. The fact that we go four months without new cards half the time, we have all these promos, but like at the end of the day, it's also not super expensive. So like, there's.
Yeah.
Relatively, everyone has their own price points, right? But like, relatively speaking, you can get a full playset of all the cards you want, like relatively affordable, unlike Pokemon or Magic.
Nobody
like,
plays Pokemon.
One just Piece.
They collect Pokemon. They don't play. They collect, yeah. Which yeah. is a very expensive hobby. I was doing that for a while.
You know what? It's so funny. Random aside. My wife's one of her friends in college paid for his entire college tuition with Pokemon tournament money.
I paid off my college loans with my Magic collection.
Yo, really?
I sold it all to pay off all my student loans.
Got it. This is a game. My Star Wars is gonna be my nest egg.
Look, I know some people that had much more vast collections than I did. And we're like looking at them to like make down payments on houses and or buy houses.
Mm. Wow,
Magic is crazy. Yeah,
Magic is a little bit more of the. If you're collecting in that, you have a decent amount of money.
Wow.
Yeah, it's also been around for 30 years, so there are definitely a lot of valuable cards out there that are much less available than are with Star Wars.
Speaking of available, our availability for this podcast time is winding down because I know you have to leave early. Corey, so let's pivot away back from Magic and let's talk about Star Wars Unlimited. Sorry for my random aside. Oh man, you know, the stream of conscious, just kind of want to talk about things. You know, how do you stay motivated? How are you planning on staying motivated? Like, do you have any strategies in that sense, like when you're experiencing this type of burnout, like at least in the competitive sense, like is the weekend off just like the thing that you want to do, or is there other stuff that you've found? Because I know you've been playing card games for a long time, right? So I'm sure there's this has not popped up. It's not the first time that's popped up.
I mean, the benefit to me being on a team is that like it's effectively always in my face in some sort of way, so that I can like, oh, I see my teammates are doing well. That kind of motivates me to try to, you know, get back in it. Or like, I talk to Ian all the time, so it's like, I messaged after the last PQ, I'm like, oh, I'm going to quit, and he's just like messaging me like, oh, don't quit, and I'm like, yeah, I was being more like, I'm a little upset that I didn't do well, I'm not going to quit, mostly because of that, because of how competitively minded I am at this point. Like, I haven't reached that full pinnacle of burnout, but like, I know that I can just take some amount of time off. At some point, I'll be like, man, I want to like, play some games so that I either don't get rusty or I just actually really feel like playing Star Wars. And like the good thing for me is that I still enjoy the game even if I'm not doing well. So I just need to take a couple days to reset and, you know, play some more. So
I have a question about your team. You have a bunch of people in the team that are all testing together, and and the team came up with that Kylo deck, which was like took over Galactics and was a huge success there. How does that like motivate you to like build your own decks or bring things to the table for your team? Or is there like specific people in the team that like, hey, you're the guy, you come up with the stuff and then we'll see if it works.
I mean, we do have those type of people that are like George is a great deck builder, right? Like, you can be like, hey, what are you brewing up? Let's see what you're, you know. But the benefit to how many people we have in a team is that we can just say, hey, I have this idea for a deck, and you'll find at least 2 to 3 people. They'll be like, oh, that's cool. Let me test it out and see how well it works. We actually did that for Galactics testing, where we kind of broke out into, we had a list of all the aspect combinations and said, all right, what aspect combination are you most interested in this going into this new set? And people signed up for that and then broke out into pods and said, okay, let's build decks with this way. And we were able to effectively do that Kylo deck because of that, right? Like, we had a pod that was, you know, blue-red villain and, you know, started with Talzin, and eventually it's like, oh, we had this Kylo idea from, you know, blue-yellow villain that's been brewing around. Let's try to bring it to red. And, like, it's just a, you know, having so many people is, as long as somebody has an idea, no matter, you know, how crazy it is, somebody's going to be willing to jump on it and try it out and try to give some good constructive feedback.
That's such a cool methodology.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, seriously, like, I'm here are we, like, we're like in our group chat, like, I like this leader. Let's just mess around with this. But you're like, all right, there's color combinations. Break out into pods.
Like, I'm just like, I don't want to break all the Boston secrets on this.
All the different, the big whiteboard and stuff with all different connections.
It's like beautiful mind. Just like doing the calculations. No, of course, right. don't show all your trade secrets. No, that's fascinating.
Honestly, it's just about organization, right? And like, we do benefit for having so many people, because you're always going to find somebody that's interested in something that you're doing, right? Like, I don't think I've seen a single deck that someone's brought to the table that was like everyone disregarded, right? They just said, all right, let's try it out. Let's see how it is. Here's some constructive feedback.
No, that's great. It's keeping an open mind to anything, because just because something doesn't appear to be useful doesn't mean, you know, after a hard look at it, you know, might be able to use it somewhere else or adjust it just enough to make it competitive. That's really cool. I'm all about that, and Gil's all about the jank decks, so he's Mr. Jank deck.
I just need to find someone who supports me. I'm just alone in my own jank world.
We got some supporters there for you.
We do definitely. The Padawan Limited Pot like crew is like really, really cool, and really, really friendly and open about sharing their stuff. Like, I know there's some, because we're casual tryhards, like, we don't hide our stuff. People are like, I'm like, oh, can I see the list? They're like, here you go.
I've been told I'm a casual myself, so
really?
I might say the face of casual. I don't know if you've heard.
I don't know. I think combined, Gil and I have less successful results than you have in like a month. So
I'm curious, how many games do you think you've played totally, like online and in person? Games. Do you, like, if you were gonna rough order of magnitude the amount of games you played?
I'll say it's far less than other people that play a lot of games.
Okay.
Sometimes I get lazy. Not gonna lie. Like, I'm not trying to say anything of like my ability to play this game, but like before that Red Seal PQ, like, yeah, I played against that Han 1 yellow deck for the first one that I came in second. I played against it, but I only played 3 games before that PQ. I was actually playing the deck.
Wow, so that's like, impressive. I was rooting for you. Really, it's like, who was the big bad guy? I was like, come on, Han, you can win.
But like, since then, like with Quinlan, I've been playing a lot of Quinlan, and that deck requires a lot of practice. So, like, I think right after the last PQ I was at, I was bummed, but the next day I messaged one of my teammates. I'm like, hey, you've been playing Hantu Blue. I need to figure out why I'm losing to this. We played like 20 games in a row.
Wow.
So,
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's cool you have your team really does support you in that sense. Like 20 yeah. games in a row, like not everyone could do that or has the willingness to do that. So it's really cool that you're doing that. And you know, at the end of the day, that's what I kind of like about Star Wars Unlimited in this sense. Like maybe I'm spoiled, but like I've just having people around to like talk to you and like people are really open to like playing games and like talking through the lines and stuff, like. And these are essentially start off as strangers. Like, this seems to be a welcoming community, and it seems to permeate within the competitive teams as well. Like, do you feel yeah. the same way in that sense? Or
coming from other games, this is the most friendliest atmosphere of games. Like, I've only met a few people that seemed kind of off, like, in any sort of way, like, negative. Like, even the people that people told me that are negative to them or like just appear negative, it's like just go up and talk to them, say hey, I like your deck or something like that, and a lot of times they're just more standoffish than negative. So
I mean, we're a bunch of nerds, we're not necessarily sociable people sometimes.
Yeah,
we're a bunch of nerds that like Star Wars and
yep.
Oh man, I love it. And you know what, with that, let's end on a good note. Tetra, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate having you finally. I was actually a little scared to ask you. I was like, oh, should I ask him? So like when I heard that you and Rob talk a little bit, I was like, oh yes, got him. Gotta catch them all, you know what I'm saying? So thank you so much for your time. It was fantastic. Absolutely. Corey, thank you again as always. Rob, if you're out there listening, we miss you, brother. We'll see you next week. And to everyone else out there, until next time, may the force be with you.